Welcome, everyone. It's so good to see so many people in the auditorium and also so many people on stage. A big thank you goes out to the Arts Council England for their help and support to the festival and also to the Versopolis Project as part of the Creative Europe programme. And very importantly, also a big thank you to Five Seasons Press for the wonderful pamphlets that you hopefully all got during the week or today. The readings in this event will be split in two parts. We'll start off with Ledbury Poetry Festival's director, Chloe Garner, who will speak about the festival's engagement with the Versopolis platform. Then we will hear the first four poets read: Helen, Jekta, Nicolina, and Tiziano. After that, Glenn will speak about his involvement in the project and the creation of the pamphlets. And then in the second part, we get to hear the readings by Kayo, Veronica, and Charlotte. So I'm really looking forward to this. Join me in giving a warm welcome to Chloe, first of all.
So I don't want to take any time at all. I'm going to only speak very briefly. It's the first time I've done anything clutching a can of Coke. That's what's keeping me going now. It's the Coke. It's terrible. So this isn't product placement, and so please ignore it. So I just wanted to say this is the third year of Versopolis. So actually, the project, for now, this is the end of it. This is the third year. But we have, as a platform of now 13 festivals, I think, reapplied, and hopefully we'll receive the funding from Creative Europe for another 3 years. So even though God knows what's happening in this country, at least still we've been able to reapply for this next phase. So I'm really pleased about that. When I was first approached to consider joining the platform and was told that it was for emerging poets to go out and perform in festivals across Europe, be translated, and for us to be able to welcome poets here, I just thought, what an amazing thing at an earlier stage in your career as a poet to be able to meet and talk with other poets from different countries. And one of our earlier Versopolis poets, Kim Moore, says, before Versopolis, I'd only really read British and American poetry. After coming back from Croatia, I started to read as much translated poetry as I could get my hands on. And she started collaborating with a Croatian poet she met when she went out there. So that just really was what it was about for me. And, you know, some of our poets have been out to Sweden, Poland, Macedonia, Lithuania, Belgium, Italy, all over the place. And we've had poets from every single country on the platform. So all of the 13 countries, we've been able to welcome a poet here to Ledbury Poetry Festival. And the wonderful thing about it as well has been the audiences that are coming out to support this event. And so it's lovely to see so many of you. So thanks for supporting it. And fingers crossed that we'll be able to continue for another 3 years with Versopolis. So I'm looking forward now to the readings. Thank you.
Actually, I missed the chance to really give a warm welcome to all these poets on stage, so let's do that first of all. And the first one reading will be Helen Mort. Helen Mort was born in Sheffield and grew up in Derbyshire. She has published two pamphlets and two excellent full collections, Division Street in 2013, which was shortlisted for the Costa Prize, the T.S. Eliot Prize, and won the Fenton Alborough First Collection Prize. Last year, No Map Could Show Them was published by Chatto & Windus, a collection that is mainly inspired by Helen's passion for running and climbing. Let's see if Helen is taking us outside now too.
Thank you. Before I start reading, I just wanted to say a massive wholehearted apology to anyone who was hoping to see me read this morning as well. I had a bit of car trouble, to put it mildly, getting here. And I may have some on the way back, which could mean that I'm stuck in Ledbury forever, which would be no bad thing. It's such a wonderful place to be. And it's a real pleasure to be part of the Versopolis project. I'm just going to read two poems. Both of them, I write a lot about Sheffield and Derbyshire, where I was brought up and where I live now. So I thought I'd deliver read two poems that that didn't begin with things on my doorstep, that started from elsewhere. And the first one is sort of set in Belgium. It's just called Vanishing Point. I'm obsessed with writing about trees, and they seem to keep creeping back into my work, even when I don't mean them to. So this is called Vanishing Point. Avenues of trees. Avenues of hairless silver trees that never touch. Avenues that bring the evening to its knees, stooping to enter their tunnel. Trees that wear the new rain like a transparent glove, or hold their branches shakily in front of them like hands spotted with someone else's blood. Avenues of trees that lean, still drunk at dawn, dreaming new names for themselves. Parades of trees, armies of pale trees. No, avenues of trees under avenues of night air. Planned, tended avenues curling down the hill to Sablon like loosed hair, like a word on your tongue. Allez, veneer, the accent wrong, a language you can almost hear when I breathe against your cheek, breathe in your ear, and shut my eyes. Go down with you through avenues of painted trees, trees oiled in shadow, framed and held, imaginary trees that wait as if you could enter them. Avenues of trees, avenues of poplar, lime, the long lined year, the avenue I watch you walking down, and follow you, and can't get near. And the second poem is set in Glasgow, but actually it has got a bit of, despite my intentions, it has got a bit of Sheffield in it, because it mentions something very Sheffield that I took with me there. Glasgow. The rain I brought north with me, a Yorkshire vale, the sky like something almost overheard, or like the petrified grey bird inside the Kelvin Grove Museum, its neat impression of an owl. The stuffed beige dog that looked as if it might still howl. A rooted sentry on a tall glass case. The cheetah with its elevated face and one raised paw. The way we tried to move as if we'd not been here before. The science test we stopped to take to see if we were sensitive to bitterness. A white strip held for seconds on the tongue. A strangeness they said wouldn't last for good, or how you couldn't taste it and I could. Thank you.
The obsession with trees, that's a perfect link to Tiziano. Tiziano Fratus was born in Bergamo in 1975, and he describes himself as a dendrosopher and a root man, with a double O, who travels in landscape. He says that every time he meets remarkable trees in ancient forests, he loses his voice. He has published several books in prose and other books in verse in Italy and other points of the planet. He lives in a little house at the feet of the Alps with his long-season girlfriend and a variable number of cats. Please welcome Tiziano.
Thank you very much to you and to Festival for the invitation to Versopolis, to Glenn, our publisher that made us so fine work, and to every one of you. I sometimes consider myself a citizen of two countries. One is Italy, and the other is woods, our woods. Autoritratto di paesaggio congelso. Ho incominciato a respirare nel tronco cavo di un gelso. Ho varcato la soglia dell'età adulta per tornare a scardinare il paesaggio con occhi di bambino, il fuoco vibrante di un rugoso monaco zen. Sorry. Cosa facciamo?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Self-portrait of landscape with mulberry. I began to breathe in the hollow trunk of a mulberry. I cross the threshold of adulthood to once again plumb the landscape with the eyes of a child, the vibrant fire of a wizened Zen monk.
Nido per animi leggeri. Quanto sai essere leggera quando il vento passa fra i tuoi capelli di creta, fai pulizia fra le foglie e i ramoscelli. L'ordine ha valore di rinascita, mi ripeti. Le uova non sono ancora state deposte, ma le aspetti a giorni, non appena i ciliegi saranno in fiore. Le rondini non sono rincasate, le opportuniste. Allunghiamo lo sguardo a mezzogiorno e socchiudi le palpebre e annusi l'aria. Con la punta del naso ci tocchiamo e sorridiamo. Siamo noi i prossimi animali che avranno le ali, prometti. Non è che le parole si regalino senza nulla in cambio. Ogni minimo pensiero ha un costo in ore sonno. Coltivare la visione pretende acqua fresca, di sorgente. Le radici scavano e scavano nel mare secco della terra, di fronte alle mura di Troia.
A nest for blithe souls. You can be so light. When the wind wafts through your hair of clay, you tidy up among the leaves and twigs. Neatness has the value of rebirth, you repeat to me. The eggs haven't been laid yet, but you expect them any day now, as soon as the cherry trees blossom. The swallows haven't returned home yet, those opportunists. We turn our gaze to the south. You half close your eyelids and sniff the air. The tips of our noses touch and we smile. We're the next animals to have wings, you promise. Words can't be given without getting something in return. Even the smallest thought has a price in sleep hours. It takes fresh water, spring water, to cultivate vision. The roots dig and dig in the dry sea of the earth, in front of the walls of Troy.
The last one. Il tempo del legno. Ho atteso il tempo del legno per chiedere permesso a Dio, colui o colei che non ha nome e non ha forma. Qui dove la ha saputo tollerare le mani di un vecchio che hanno rimosso la storia delle stagioni. Sono precipitato dentro la conta del tempo. Ho seduto e ho tastato, ho ammirato il bambino che non sono stato. Chi sei? Ho chiesto. Sono il sole che nessuno vede, ha risposto. Ho socchiuso gli occhi e pregato me stesso di non pensare più a niente, di centrare il mare del vuoto. Non ho vestito l'anima di pace, che non è spuntata. Ho solo percepito il terrore della materia, annidata cerchio su cerchio, un anno dopo l'altro. Quanto siamo deboli, ha detto. Ed io che ti credevo pronto alla roccia? No, caro uomo, nemmeno la roccia sogna serena.
The time of wood. I awaited the time of wood to ask permission here of God. He or she who has no name and no form, who tolerates the hands of an old man which eliminated the story of the seasons. I fell into the forest's counting rhyme. I sat and I touched, I admired the child I had not been. Who are you? I asked. I am the sun which nobody sees, it replied. I half closed my eyes. I entreated myself to never think of nothing again, to center the sea of nothingness. I didn't dress my soul in peace, which didn't appear. I only sensed the terror of the matter, nestled ring upon ring, one year after another. How weak we are, it said. And here I thought you were prepared for stone. No, dear man, not even stone dreams serenely.
Thank you, both of you. Nikolina Andoa-Shampova was born in 1978 in Skopje. Her work appeared in several anthologies of Macedonian poetry, and she has published two full collections. The first, The Entrance is on the Other Side, from 2013, was awarded the prestigious Bridges of Struga Award in 2013, a UNESCO Award, and the Struga Poetry Evenings Award for Best Debut Book. Her second collection, Connect the Dots, I like your titles, was published in 2014. Her poems have been translated into many languages, and last year a trilingual selection of her poems in English, Macedonian, and French was published. Besides poetry, Nikolina also writes short fiction and poems for children. Welcome, Nikolina.
Thank you for being here. I'm going to read my poems on my native language, Macedonian, and Helen will read the English translation. Se je produpčeno. Tuka se je produpčeno. Небото што го дзиркаме низ леките на телескопите и папките на нашите канцелариски бироа. Прозорчињата на кабините во бродовите кога патуваме и масивните дзидови во храмовите во кои се молиме. И кебињата на тајните љубовници изгорени од цигара се продупчени. И светот кој го гледаме низ прстените на предците. Сеќавањата како тесто за колачиња кога ги обликуваме, метите во човечки облици на кои вежбаме пукање. Се е продупчено. Окцата на вратите затворени за питачите, земјата од растурените домови на мравките, Бог, што го бараме низ кружните отвори на куполите.
Everything is pierced. Everything here is pierced. The sky we spy through the lenses of the telescopes and the folders on our office desks. The little windows in the ship cabins when we travel and the massive walls in the temples in which we pray. And the blankets of the secret lovers burnt from cigarettes are pierced. And the world we see through the rings of the ancestors, the memories like cookie dough when we shape the targets in human forms on which we practice shooting. Everything is pierced. The spy holes on the doors closed for beggars. The earth from the ants' destroyed homes. God, whom we search through the circular openings of the domes.
Се смалуваме. Стапнуваме во нештата и веќе сме дел од нив. Ни кажале ли никогаш дека школките се ноктите на морето? Дека и нашите ногти стануваат школки штом влеземе во него? Дека стомакот ни е морска желка кога пливаме? Дека градите ни се медузи? Очите ни се мали рибки издвоени од јатото во плиткото? Косите ни се претвораат во алги штом ги потопиме? Кожата ни е мофта, влакненцата ни се тревите на камењата, кои се нишаат од водата како од ветер. Ушите ни се морски кончиња, прстите пипки од октоподи, што ги нудат како специјалитет во скапите менија. Се смалуваме како морски звезди што се сушат на пристаништата, кои ќе висат некаде како украс над зидот, како запрена светлина, подпишан сувенир.
We dwindle. We step into things, and already we are part of them. As anyone told us that the seashells are the fingernails of the sea, that our fingernails become seashells once we enter in it, that our stomach is a sea turtle when we swim, that our breasts are jellyfish, our eyes are little fish separated from the shoal in the shallows, our hair turns to algae when we submerge it, our skin is moss, our hairs are the weeds on the rocks swaying in the water as if wind-blown. Our ears are little seahorses, our fingers the tentacles of the octopuses being offered as a speciality in expensive menus. We dwindle, like sea stars drying on docks, which will be hung on a wall somewhere as decorations, like stopped light, a signed souvenir.
Blagoslovena je ona što ne može me da go dopreme. Blagosloveni se delečinite i mestata na koji nikogaš nema da otideme i tesnata mazna nošnica što se suši na balkonot sproti nas. Blagoslovena je smrta koja gi pamti adresite na site naši neispratene pisma i bogovite koji se napregame no ne možeme da gi dofatime kako je beje žinite vo agolot među krevetot i dzidot. Blagoslovena je mesečinata servirana na neboto kako činja na nekoj koji postojano večera sam. I sonceto, što ne podsjetuva, deka može da se ljubi od daleku. Blagoslovena je slobodata i našata iluzija deka sme ja doprele, kako što go dopirame život od preko ekranite i monitorite. Blagosloveno je mi natoto, što ni se lepi kako dolgotrajen karmin na ustata i dninata izvalkana od crveni damki, otporni i na najreklamiranite detergenti. Blagosloveni se morinjata, što nikogaš nema da gi preplivame, zaradi graničnicite za voda i teorijite za bezbednost. Blagoslovena je mekata kosa na jedna devojka što za malku, sosama za malku, ke me dopreše vo jedna autobuska gužva.
Blessed is that which we cannot touch. Blessed are the distances and the places to which we will never go, and the tight, smooth nightgown drying on the balcony across from us. Blessed is death that remembers the addresses of all our unsent letters, and the gods we try but cannot reach, like the cobwebs in the corner between the bed and the wall. Blessed is the moon served on the sky, like a dish of someone who dines alone all the time, and the sun reminding us one can love from afar. Blessed is the freedom and our illusion that we have touched it, like we touch life through screens and displays. Blessed is the past that sticks to us like long-lasting lipstick on our mouths, and the future besmeared by red stains, resistant to even the most advertised of detergents. Blessed are the seas which we will never swim across because of the water landmarks and the theories of safety. Blessed is the soft hair of a girl that nearly, very nearly touched me.
Zapirki. Пронеда фотографија во подрумот од местото на мојата куќа пред да биде изградена, кога била само скица во рацете на архитектите. И знам приближно од кога ја има. Годината кога е изградена е замачкана во бетонот во еден агол на дворот. Но не знам колку време претходно ја немало. И пред да постојат џбуновите, тревите и небото што изгледуваа на фотографијата. Дали непостоењето е подолго од постоењето и колку е старо ништото. Од прашината што се крена од фотографијата, како запирки во воздухот, се закашлав.
I found a photograph in the basement of the place of my house before it was built, when it was only a sketch in the hands of the architects. And I know approximately since when it exists, the year of construction is engraved in the concrete in a corner of the yard. But I do not know how long before it did not exist, and before the bushes, weeds, and the sky existed that fade in the photograph. Is the non-existence longer than the existence? And how old is the nothing from the dust that rose of the photograph like commas in the air I coughed?
And the last one, за пасвордот по џибра. Полнете си еден на друг чашата, но не пијте од иста чаша. Давајте си еден на друг леп, но не јадете од истата погача. Пејте и играјте заедно и бидете радосни, но нека секој од вас биде и сам. Како што жиците на лирата стојат одвоено, а сепак треперат со истата музика. Халил Џибра. Во една статија на интернет прочитав дека многу љубовни парови си ги знаат пасвордите на мејловите, дека си ги разменуваат меѓусебно како знак на доверба и сигурност. Да бев мудрец како Џибран, а не сум, ке додадев. И праќајте се еден на друг мејлови, но не делете го пасвордот, зашто и човекот и земјата се хранат едно од друго, а ја чуваат тајната за почетоците, секој својата.
On Passwords by Gibran. And this poem has a little epigraph from Khalil Gibran. It says, fill each other's cup, but drink not from one cup. Give one another of your bread, but eat not from the same loaf. Sing and dance together and be joyous, but let each of you be alone, even as the strings of a lute are alone, though they quiver with the same music. On Passwords by Gibran. In one article on the internet, I read that many couples know each other's email passwords and that they give them to each other as a token of trust and security. Had I been wise as Gibran, and I'm not, I would have added, send emails to each other, but do not give away your passwords, for the man and the earth feed off each other, and yet they keep the secret of their beginnings, each to their own.
Thank you.
I must apologize to Jekta because I messed up our running order. So sorry, Jekta. Jekta was born in 1979 near Paris. He's a poet and a musician. And as a composer, guitarist, pianist, narrator, and singer, Jekta collaborates in several projects that link poetry and music and even dance and performance. Since 2006, he has been published in many poetry reviews, in several anthologies, and he has released 3 poetry books. Bear with me with the French titles. Veilleur sans visage in 2009, Registre des ombres in 2013, and Le manger de reflet in 2016, which is accompanied by a piano EP. Welcome, Jekta.
Hanté par le masque blanc du mime aux lèvres figées, rayonnant sous les huées comme sous les applaudissements, j'ai nourri mon savoir avec la virgule édentée des diables en boîte, la grimace lunaire d'un chat qui sait disparaître, l'affreux gribouillage qui sert de face aux monstres rieurs sauvés des cages de foire par un naufrage. J'ai questionné la sentence des crans d'arrêt sur la joue des anges et les fines mécaniques qui maintiennent les mâchoires d'accidentés dans un embrouillamini d'élastique. Vous pouvez suivre le fil des vaudevilles, des farces narcotiques et des fantaisies criminelles grâce auxquelles j'ai dessiné mon visage, mais vous ne saurez pas pourquoi. Des plus lointains déserts de la mélancolie jusqu'au plus haut palais d'Europe, je garde l'étrange manie, le méprisable travers de cette goupe aux larmes de sperme, mascotte de l'Apollonide, qui glissait comme un joker pour fausser la donne, une rose carnivore, l'atout maudit de la folle qui n'a jamais cessé de sourire. Haunted by the white mask of the mime artists with fixed lips, radiant at booze as well as cheers. I have fed my knowledge with the toothless comma of a jack-in-box. the crescent moon grimace of a disappearing Cheshire cat, the awful scroll which serves as a face to the grinning monster rescued from a circus cage by a shipwreck. I have questioned the sentence of flick knives on angels' cheeks and the delicate mechanisms that hold the jaws of accident victims in a tangle of elastic bands. You can follow the thread of vaudevilles of narcotic farces and criminal fantasies, thanks to which I have designed my face. But you will never know why, from the furthest deserts of melancholia to the highest palaces in Europe, I retain the strange mania, the contemptible quirk of that thought with tears of sperm, the mascot of the Apollonid brothel that slipped like a choker, distorting the deal, a carnivorous rose, the blessed trump of the mad woman who's never stopped smiling. La dernière caresse de l'hiver. Partout la suée bleue d'une ville apeurée, des mains volatiles, des dents qui brillent. Dans chaque œil, on voit cavaler le meurtre, et dans les vitrines, les mannequins transpirent. Je n'ai personne à venger, personne à maudire. Mes veilles se poursuivent que n'obsède le châtiment d'aucun crime. En mon esprit s'abritent les seuls ennemis que je possède. J'apprends seulement à déployer les ailes de la tristesse. Je dilapide la tendresse dont la solitude me sèvre en risquant une ultime caresse avant la chute. Je me change en minable ritournelle, en petite mélodie malade qui parcourt l'hiver impérial et finit dans le creux racorni d'une oreille, en fragile flocon de lumière, pour que neige dans le fond d'un rêve la promesse d'une passion nouvelle, d'un autre horizon. Là où va l'ombre lasse, dans l'attente du vent qui l'étreindra comme une amante de passage et la consumera dans ses bras. Où s'achèvent les voix lointaines comme des sirènes de la désolation qui se brisent en rage sans même un nom pour articuler le cri sur leur bouche de carton-pâte n'en finissant de mourir. This one's called Winter's Last Caress. Everywhere the blue sweat of a frightened town, volatile hands, shining teeth. In every eye, murder can be seen writing, and in window displays, the dummies perspire. I have no one to avenge, no one to curse. My vigils succeed one another, obsessed by the punishment of no crime. In my mind, shelter the only enemies I have. I simply learned to extend the wings of sadness. I squander the tenderness from which loneliness wins me, as I risk a last caress before they fall. I transform myself into a pathetic ritornello, a sick little melody which crosses the imperial winter and ends in the horny hollow of an ear, in fragile flakes of light, so that in the depths of a dream should fall as snow the promise of a new passion, a new horizon. Where goes the weary shadow waiting for the wind which will embrace it like a fleeting lover and will consume it in her arms, where distant voices fall silent like sirens of desolation, who are shattered with rage without even a name for voicing the shouts, endlessly dying on their cardboard mouths. Thank you.
Isn't it wonderful to hear all these different languages, these different voices? Just marvelous. And if one doesn't have this privileged experience, something else one can have is a parallel text book. And personally, I think parallel text poetry books are among the treasures of the world, and we should all have far more of them. We should all have, everything should be parallel text, always jumping from one language to another across the page. It's so exciting and it's so simple. You can't really do it. You can do it with prose, but it's a bit complicated to have sort of parallel text, War and Peace. But with poetry, it just lends itself to it. So it's an enormous pleasure for me to have produced these 15 books over the last 3 years and to have collaborated, if at a distance, with 15 delightful and interesting and amusing, imaginative poets all across the continent. It's an enormous pleasure. So I'm just hoping very much that it's going to continue. So we must hope for that. And I suppose I must thank the Creative Europe program of the European Union. And I could get carried away now. I was a little last year because we had the Versopolis event only 10 days after a certain referendum that took place in this country. So I'm going to try to contain myself now. But just to say, well, I'd just like to repeat a couple of phrases from a little book that George Steiner, who's a great sort of pan-European, wrote a few years ago called The Idea of Europe. And he says, you know, beyond politics and economics and everything else, the genius of Europe is of linguistic, cultural, social diversity, of a prodigal mosaic. Isn't that lovely? A prodigal mosaic. And he says in the same essay, there are no small languages. There's not such a thing as a small language. And he says, it is vital that Europe reaffirms certain convictions and audacities of the soul. Isn't that a good thing to be working on? Audacity of the soul. So that's what we're all here for, audacities of the soul. So it's a tremendous delight. I was just sort of thinking about this and thinking about the importance of poetry in multicultural situations when there can possibly be clashes and so on. Thinking of lines that W.H. Auden wrote only 6 months before the outbreak of the Second World War. And he wrote, in the nightmare of the dark, all the dogs of Europe bark, and the living nations wait, each sequestered in its hate. And then he goes on, with the farming of a verse, make a vineyard of the curse. You farm the verses and you create vineyards of healing. And that leads me to a little anecdote, which I'll finish with. There are, in fact, vineyards around Ledbury. You might have seen them. So I mean, wine is produced here, but obviously, traditionally, it's cider. And 3 years ago, there was a Versopolis party after the event, and a great deal of cider was consumed. And one of the poets that year was Ivaras from Lithuania, and he spoke absolutely no English. He was very shy and awkward all the way through because he just couldn't speak any English. So he just kept sort of well back out of things. And as the evening warmed up, he did start to speak Russian with a lady from Slovakia who spoke Russian with him. And then, all of a sudden, I was sort of with them when this miracle took place. After his sort of seventh or eighth bottle of cider, he suddenly started speaking English. And he started speaking actually very good English. And so I'll only say that, you know, if we all got together and drank local Ledbury cider for long enough, maybe we would all end up speaking really good Lithuanian. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. The second half of the reading starts with Kayo. Kayo Chingonyi is the author of two pamphlets, and his first full-length collection with the title Kumukanda was published by Chatto & Windus in June this year, and he did a wonderful reading from that collection yesterday, as many of you will know. He is a fellow of the Complete Works Programme for Diversity and Quality in British Poetry, and his work is being widely published in journals and anthologies. Welcome, Kayo.
To move it a little bit closer too, because it won't pick me up, but it does now. Can you hear me? Yeah. Wonderful. I'm just going to read three poems. I'll start with this one, since we're talking about different languages and sounds, ways of forming sound in the mouth. I'll begin with this poem. I came to the UK in 1993 and lived first in Newcastle and had a lovely Geordie accent, which I've since lost. This poem contains gull song. Not song as such, so much as guttural injunction. A music we forgot how to understand, since it lacks that carefully planned sweetness, sounding instead of black-shod clockers on, the splash and clack of shop fronts, cabbies sparking tabs in the cold of a windswept rank, flanked by one of Monkchester's lesser monuments. A sentry, stopped in his bronze tracks, steps echoing the strains of an old tune, hidden in the genes of a new one, a left-behind accent fizzing at the back of my tongue. This is a poem called Kungnanda, which means home, both home and home as a kind of ideological concept and house, the physical place. The English newsreader told me home was a broken man holding a dying child with flies round its mouth. A story that didn't tally with my mother's of childhood smiles on granddad's farm or the laughing dance across hot soil to the ice cream stand. No tagline could capture the air swelling with moisture after dry season, or the glistening brown torsos of children bathed in the promise of rain clouds, kept at last. I'll finish with a poem which is also kind of a song, Fisherman's Song. What sadness for a fisherman who navigates the blue, to find among receding nets strange underwater blooms that look at first like bladder wrack, but from a closer view are clumps of matted human hair atop an acrid soup. And what song shall this fisherman who loves a jaunty tune sing to lullaby his children when dark shapes in their room make the night a snarling monster only father's voice can soothe? And who will soothe the fisherman who navigates the blue? Thank you.
Veronica Dintinyana is a poet and translator. She published two collections of poetry, Yellow Burns the Forsythia Bush in 2008, which won the Best First Book Award at the Slovenian Book Fair in 2008, when she also won the Slovenian Poetry Tournament and the 6th Ljubljana Poetry Slam. Veronica's second book, In Dry Dock, was published in December 2016. Her poems have been translated into Italian, Spanish, Romanian, Macedonian, Galician, Spanish, Serbian, French, German, and Dutch. So lots of languages. As a translator, Veronica has published poems and essays by such famous authors as Louise Gluck, Ursula K. Le Guin, or Adrian Rich. As a founder and manager of the Cantava Arts and Literature Society, she organizes the Mlada Rime, monthly poetry readings from October to July, which end with a festival. And as if that is not enough, Veronica also edits a book series of world poetry classics and translation, and she also works as a surgeon. Welcome, Veronica.
I'm very glad to be here. Start with the one longer and three shorter poems. Oranžavec pred hišo je v zenitu. Poslušam odsotnost vetra med listi in neobljudeno popoldne. Zaradi treh stvari puščam polkna priprta, zaradi štirih zapiram vrata. Zaradi lune, ki razbeljena za cvrči, ko jo kovač potopi v vedro, zaradi jutra, ki prebledi, ko ga obraz pogleda sonce, zaradi dneva, ki zardi v noč in zaradi praga, namesto stopin ga bodo obrusili cvetovi. Trije se dvigajo v nebo, štirje so šli brez najmanjšega šuma. Šla je gonitna nitka v žarnici, iz glave mi je ušla prekinjena vrstica, skozi priprto okno se je pririnil hlad in za mizo si je prostor našla večerja. Štirih stvari ne morem dojeti, treh ne pozabiti. Oblega kamna na obali, kot otroka me je naučil razlikovati levo in desno koleno, levo in desno stran ceste. Bolečine, ki je bila vse obsegajoča in je minila hip za tem. Ljubeznivega morja, vsako noč ga sanjam, čaka me pred vrati. Po dnevi pošilja galebe in druge slepo odgovor. In drevesa, ki zahaja nad svetom. Ni moč videti, kdo se vrti okoli koga. Po dolžini sence določamo smeri neba. Po dolžini korakov, katera ura noči je. The orange tree in front of the houses in the zenith. I listen to the absence of wind in the branches and to the unpeopled afternoon. For three things, I have left the window shutters open. For four, I close the door. For the glowing moon, which hisses when the blacksmith sinks it in water. For the morning, which turns pale when the sun peers in its face. For the day, which blushes into night. And for the threshold, there will no longer be feet to shine it, only petals. Three ascend towards the heavens, four have left without the slightest sound. The filament blew in the light bulb, a distracted line has vanished from my head. Through a half-open window, the cold came in, and supper found its place at the table. Four things I cannot comprehend, three I cannot forget. The round stone on the beach, which taught me as a child to tell my right knee from my left, one side of the road from the other. The all-encompassing pain that left me a moment later. The kindly sea I dream of every night that waits me at the door and by day sends seagulls and other messengers for answer. And a tree which is setting over the world. You cannot tell which revolves and which is still. By the shadow's length, we set the sky's directions. By the pace's length, we know the time of night. Vrabec skozi bolnišnično okno. Videl sem smrt, kako je prisedla na posteljo, si se zula copate. Pritisk mu je padal, obraz je postal bel, кој легла, очи престрашене. Одлетел сам ван, кер нисам имел дележа при неговом живљењу, је било едино прав да нимам дележа при негови смрти. Час пол ура сам се врнил по крушне друптине, ки се остале од косила. Sparrow through a hospital window. I saw death sit down beside him on the bed and take off her slippers. His blood pressure dropped, his face paled as she lay down. His eyes were frightened. I flew out. As I did not have a share in his life, it was only right not to have a part in his dying. Half an hour later, I returned to pick up the breadcrumbs left over from lunch. Cathedral lions. Rain, cold, and heat have corroded the low-grade marble. They're like the crest of a wave. For an instant, take form, and already dissolve into foam. They smile. Perhaps they know they're disappearing. Levi na pročelju katedrale. Tretji razredni marmor so načeli dež, mraz in vročina. Podobni so vrhovom valov. Za hip privzamejo obliko in že se razpustijo v peno. Smehljajo se. Morda vejo, da kopnijo. And the last one. Exercise in automatic breathing. Again I write, morning, noon, night. Exercise in automatic writing. A series of thoughts and metaphors, without responsibility, without ambition to last. Poems without hanged men, without the dead relatives, without the scented skin of lovers, flowers and bushes. Bereft and empty. A failed attempt at resuscitation, paper doesn't crack under one's palms, like ribs or breastbone. Books do not start to smell after death. They're only covered by dust and stains from coffee or tea. No one is irreplaceable. At night I dream, in the morning the meaning is revealed to me. The trick is not in being exceptional. It is much simpler. Being irreplaceable for somebody. Does not have to be Tuscany. Does not have to be summer. Does not even have to last. This is the hardest. So I exercise one breath at a time. Spet pišem. Popodne, po noči, zjutraj. V avtomatskem pisanju, nizanje misli in metafor, brez odgovornosti, brez ambicije trajati. Pesmi brez obešencev, brez umrlih sorodnikov, brez dišeče kože ljubimcev, rož in grmov, oropane in prazne. Neuspel poskus oživljanja, papir ne poka pod prsti, kakor rebra in prsnica. Knjige po smrti ne zasmrdijo. Držijo se jih le prah in madeži kave ali čaja. Nihče ni nenadomestljiv. Po noči sanjam, zjutraj se mi razodene pomen. Tri kni v izjemnosti, bolj enostavno je. Biti nenadomestljiv za nekoga. Ni nujno Toskana. Ni nujno poletje, niti ni nujno, da traja. то є найтяжче. Зато вадим всяк дих спроти. Хвала.
And the last reading for today. Charlotte van den Broek studied English and German and is taking a degree course in Art of the Spoken Word and Theatre at the Royal Conservatoire of Antwerp. In 2015, her first collection, Chameleon, was published and was awarded the Hermann de Kooning Debut Prize. In January 2017, her second collection, with the unpronounceable name of a late night shop, Nachtruhr, you do it? Nachtruhr, was published. Charlotte's poems have been translated into German, English, and Arabic. Besides writing for the page, Charlotte also seeks all opportunities to perform her poetry on the stage, and I'm very much looking forward to see a performance now. Welcome, Charlotte.
Thank you. Am I understandable? Yeah, I guess. Thank you, Katarina, for the technical assistance. I want to thank the festival and First Apotis Project for inviting me. I really like Ledbury because there's some sort of lightness in the air that rings. You all look like washed-up kids in the corner of a playroom, fists bawling on the mat, screaming that your bodies are bursting at the seams. At noon, we stare into the sun with bulging chameleon eyes. The world smudges in coarse, grease pencil lines. There's no noticeable difference between a hand or a table, only the transition of matter. In the wavering image of magnified pixels, a girl's hair sways in long ponytails, hair that isn't yet a trump card, but a burden when she plays. When she walks, the tails swish like whips. A lethargy weighs everything down. More mass on top of the same surface area, causing things to tumble off the merchants of the world. There's a lightness here that rings, as if it's all just a marble alley, away from up to down till someone lifts us up again. Vnana Dalsnukker. Vingertoppen zuignappen, vooral niet slapen nu. Als je niet gaat slapen nu, dan kunnen we praten nu. Dan zullen we praten hier, boven deze lakens. Over de bleke heuvels aan de andere kant van het water. De zoden van het gras waarin we zaten, waarin we nog niet samen zaten. Zomers die we afzonderlijk meemaakten. Het lichter van onze haren en het langer van de dagen hier, boven deze lakens, vooral niet breken nu. De schorpioenen in mijn boekenkast zijn op reis vannacht. Het is veilig nu, de warmte op de ramen, de damp op je verhalen. Het is bijna ochtend. Boven deze lakens nog een laatste uur, hier, in mijn lome lendenen blijf. Nog even praten nu in de lome lendenen van mijn lijf over buikholtes. Komkommertijd. Een ver land in mijn oren, over takken van robuuste bomen langs de klanken van de woorden, hier koortstromen, hier knoesten van handen en kommen van dorst. Witte lelies voor een woonkamer. Vooral niet slapen nu. Aanraken nu. De wanden vergeten blauwdrukken. De onschuld van een regenworm in een kindermond. We kunnen praten hier, boven deze lakens. Fingertips. Suction pads. Don't fall asleep now. If you don't fall asleep now, we will talk now. We can talk, here, on top of these sheets, about the pale hills across the water, the sods of grass where we sat, where we hadn't sat together yet. Summers we experienced separately, the lighter of her hair and the longer of the days, here, on top of these sheets, don't break now. The scorpions in my bookcase are traveling tonight, it's safe now. The heat on the windows, the steam from your stories. It's almost morning. On top of these sheets, a final hour here, in my languid loins, stay. Talk a little. in the languidness of my loins about belly buttons. The silly season. Talk a distant land into my ears. The branches on sturdy trees lining the sound of the words here. Fevered dreams. Here, on top of these sheets, nursed for hands and bowls of thirst. White lilies for the living room. The walls, long forgotten blueprints. The innocence of a rainworm in a child's mouth. We can talk here, on top of these sheets. So before I continue, I would like to ask a question to the women in the audience who in here already gave birth. Oh, a lot of you. They're going to be interesting. I haven't given birth yet, but I have a theory of how it goes. And maybe afterwards we can discuss experience versus theory. Well, I think it's something like women making bouillon from themselves in the bathwater until their innards boil out of them in the form of a child. And this is how we are born. Without a shell, without the reassurance that one day we'll find a mouth that looks so much like our own mouth that we start to talk with it. And I wonder if I too, one day, will end up frog-legged with a gurgling breath and the nervous tick of a head on a bewildered body, left like that, in a bathtub, while the water circles away, a small whirling tornado that won't even make it to the weather forecast. I think it must go something like that because ever since I was born, my mother, an enormous bull's head rages in my mother's belly. It's on a rampage in her empty womb, creating scars in the fellow mother. Sometimes my mother doesn't quite recognize me, which is troubling because at one time I fitted inside her perfectly. Luckily, according to the astronomical constellation of Cancer, I am reliable, pleasure-seeking, and creative. She finds this consoling, an article of fate connecting amniotic fluid to the universe. Whenever we had chicory baked with gammon, I'd get the crust of cheese. All of it, because I asked for it. The love I know is dished up from a casserole. Two extra helpings on a full plate, a second biscuit hidden in the yellow pud. This is a typical feature of motherly conduct, as stuffing one's young. In exchange for the void I left in her, she wanted me full and round. And then came the morning that I announced the arrival of two small breasts. The news broke her spirit for days. Eventually, she handed me a first bra, but it was emblazoned with Hello Kitty. A void is emptiness only when nothing else will fit. Gradually, we fossilized into two separate creatures. You can no longer tell who became the insect and who turned into amber. What I can tell is that ever since my mother cries when she does the wash, this is a perfect moment for mothers to cry because the revolving drum of a washing machine generally makes quite a racket. I can still hear her sob, but so quietly that it really could be ambient noise. And the washing machine, it licks the day's wounds. You can put anything in that doesn't fit in your head. Unused sheets, for example, or the tobacco smell in the coat of your grandfather with throat cancer. Long cycle, 60 degrees, cleansing ritual. I spent ages thinking that it was unfair that I had a crying mother, as though I had to go to school carrying a heavier bag. And whenever we played drop the handkerchief, I would always briefly think that the hanky was for my mom. I made sense of this phenomenon of the crying mother by guessing that there wasn't enough water and that this was why she'd spend she'd stare, excuse me, that this was why she'd stare into the washing machine, thinking long and hard about dead pussycats. So long until she started to cry. She was able to do the washing with her tears. I grew up with salt stains on my clothes. Thank you very much.